tonight, of course, to Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews 11, and we're also going to look at Genesis chapter number 27 tonight, and going to lend much from the text in Genesis, because in Hebrews tonight, we're just going to read one verse, and as you know, we're making our way through these individuals that God dealt with, and that God visited in His grace. And thank God tonight that all that was required upon their part was faith. And faith sometimes comes even through great difficulty. And we're going to see that tonight here in the Word of God. But I want to look here at Hebrews chapter number 11. And then we're going to look at Genesis 27. Well, let's read our verse in Hebrews tonight, Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. And look with me in verse number 20. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 20. The Bible reads, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." He said, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." And it's an interesting verse. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 27. And I want to read just a little bit. And we don't have to be in any great hurry tonight. We've got a kind of a shorter thought for you tonight. And so let's just take our time. We'll read through this and kind of see what's going on and what they're talking about in Hebrews, how that Isaac blessed his sons. Genesis chapter number 27, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speaking to Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Notice this. And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he had also made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would help us. And Lord, this age-old truth that we're going to try our best to convey in the Scripture tonight, Lord, this is a reality to us as it was a reality to these Old Testament saints. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us with our flesh tonight. I pray that you would help us with our pride. I pray that you would help us, Lord, with our self-reliance and our self-sufficiency. Lord, help us to realize that those things are a displeasure to you. Lord, they are sin to you. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have faith tonight. Lord, we know that faith overcomes the world. It's faith that gives us victory tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that you'd bless us and use us, Lord, as you see fit tonight. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible tells us tonight in the book of Hebrews that what took place in Genesis chapter number 27 was indeed an act of faith. And although whenever we look at it tonight and we read in the chapter, we seemingly find anything but faith. Whenever we look at Genesis chapter number 27 tonight, I want you to think about, first of all, I want you to consider Isaac and his frailty. Isaac is now kind of entering in to the old years of his life. Being a resourceful man as he is, he begins to plan for the future and plan for his death. The Bible says that he declared that he didn't know the day of his death, like none of us do, but he wanted to be prepared for what was to come. And so what he does is he calls in Esau, his eldest son, and he desires to bless him. He gives him instruction to go out and to harvest the venison, bring it back in, and to prepare it the way that he likes it. But Isaac is frail. His eyes are dim. And can I say tonight that at this point in Isaac's life, that the fact that his eyes were dim was not only indicative of his physical condition, but I think we can look in Genesis chapter number 27 and not only see that his physical condition showed us that his eyes were dim, but I think that speaks of his spiritual condition tonight. He was not using the discernment that God had given him. He was not holding to the promises of God and walking in the revealed truth of the Word of God. And we'll say more about that here in just a little bit. And because of the frailty in this man's life, we see his favoritism. It's very easy to pick up on those cues in these early New Testament chapters concerning the families of the patriarchs, and that is one theme that is seemingly recurring over and over and over again, and it is that idea of favoritism in the family. Whenever we think about it tonight, it was Isaac who loved Esau. When we think about his wife, she loved their son Jacob. Jacob was kindly, I guess what maybe we would call a mama's boy. He was kind of more around the house in a domestic situation. And Esau, being a man of the field, he was a hunter. And Isaac liked that. Isaac favored him because of meat that he prepared and the meat that he would fix. He had a taste for venison tonight. And so through all of this, there was favoritism in this family. Isaac was not only frail, but Isaac was guilty of favoritism. We'll later on see this in Jacob's life with his two wives, Rachel and Leah. He loved Rachel and thought she was beautiful, but yet sadly he despised Leah. Even in his grandson, in Isaac's grandson Joseph, we see that family marked and plagued by favoritism. Joseph being the favored son, and the other brothers just kindly cast off to the side, though not forgotten, they were seemingly neglected by Jacob. And so favoritism plagues these early New Testament families. And can I say this tonight, that favoritism of one child over the other is a wicked thing. It's an awful thing. Amen. Even though your children may be different, even though you might have one that kind of knows how to push your buttons a little bit more than the other, we ought not favor one over the other. Each have their own distinct personalities. Each of them have their quirks, but we are to love them just the same. And this is something that the Old Testament early families seemingly just didn't put a high premium on. So we see Isaac's frailty, and then we see Isaac's favoritism. We see Isaac's flesh. Over and over and over again, the text in Genesis chapter number 27 uses words like this, like feel, felt, smell. There is a reliance upon the flesh. How is it that Jacob knew? The first thing that Jacob said when his mama suggested that he put the goat hair on and put Esau's clothes on and go in before his father, whose eyes were dim. How is it that Jacob knew and understood? The first thing that his mind went to, he said, my father's going to feel me. He understood that his father was ruled by his feelings and ruled by his flesh at this point in his life. So we see Isaac's favoritism, Isaac's frailty, Isaac's flesh. And then we see Isaac's failure. Because of his failure to see, he was deceived. Now it wasn't all Jacob's fault. Certainly wasn't Esau's fault tonight. I want to say this, that it was Isaac and it was Rebekah's fault, because Isaac and Rebekah had already received a word from God that Jacob, the youngest, would rule over the eldest. You remember when the two boys were born and God declared that there were two nations inside of her womb. And what did Jacob even do as an infant? He reached out and he grabbed the heel of his brother Esau as to say, I'm going to usurp you. I'm going to overtake you. You're not going to be number one. I'm going to be number one. And God declared it to be so. And here we see, like many times with their ancestors, with the other patriarchs, just like Abraham did with Hagar and with Sarah and the whole deal with Ishmael, they are taking matters into their own hands. But then, thank God for this tonight, in Hebrews chapter number 11, we see Isaac's faith. What was done tonight in Genesis chapter number 27 may have been done behind closed doors. It may have been done under the veil of deception. It may have been done in humanity, and it may have been done in sin. But thank God, God had a way of righting all the wrong and correcting all of the mistakes. And even through the deception and even through the shadows, thank God, God's will was accomplished. And it was God who had the last word. Tonight, Isaac was a man who was led about by his flesh tonight. He was a man who was led about by his feeling. And as we said, the chapter lends credence to that tonight and shows us that all throughout the text, not just Jacob, not just Isaac, Not just Rebekah, but even Esau himself. Everybody in the text is touched and led about by one thing: their feelings tonight. But Hebrews chapter number 11 reminds us of the faith that Isaac had. Thank God the grace of God covered up his failure. The grace of God did not highlight his past and highlight his sin, but thank God God intended in Hebrews chapter number 11 to highlight the faith of these individuals. And so may we look at the faith of Isaac and not his feelings tonight. May faith trump our feelings. And when it comes between our feelings and our faith, may we always make the choice to have faith over our feelings. And that's the subject that I want to preach on tonight, quickly if I can, having faith over feelings. Faith over feelings. Whenever we think about the text tonight, I just want to give you three things and then we'll be done tonight. But whenever we consider this chapter in Genesis chapter number 27 in light of Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight, the first thing that I want you to see this story involving, number one, the greed. Everybody is being led about by their feelings, and I want to kind of think about this for just a moment. As we already said, Isaac and Rebekah both knew what God had already said concerning both of these boys. Now, you remember in Old Testament times, in Bible economy, and even in many families today in the eastern part of the world, it is the eldest son who is to receive the blessing and the inheritance. It is the eldest son who is to bear all of the responsibility and look after his younger siblings after the father and the mother are gone. He is to bear the load of that family and the honor of that family. And it was no different in this family. Esau was the eldest brother. He was the one that was born first. These two twin boys, Esau came out first, so he was actually declared to be the oldest. Jacob was the youngest, and it was Esau that was supposed to, for all intents and purposes, according to how they did things during this time in the world, it should have been Esau that was next in line. But God had declared through His Word that it was Jacob who the promised seed would come through. It was Jacob whom the promise given to Abraham and then confirmed to Isaac. It was Jacob who was to receive the promise. And Isaac and Rebekah both knew this. This was not something that was done in ignorance. This is not something that happened by accident. This deception and this sin on the part of Rebekah, goading Jacob to do this, convincing Jacob to do this, and then Isaac desiring to bless Esau. It's not one party over the other. There's not one particular person to blame. They were all at fault here. And how great of a tendency do you and I have in our flesh to be led about by our feelings? And here's really what we say, and we may never say it with our mouth. We may never utter these words out loud, but here's in essence, here's what we say. Well, I know what God said, but I feel like this. I know what the Bible says, and I would venture to say there's probably not a person in here that if I brought up some minor or major subject or some activity in life or anything, there's probably not a person in here that could not at least point me to one principal verse in the Word of God about that. And so we being exposed to preaching and we being students of the Bible ourselves, we know what God has said, we know what God expects, we know what He demands out of us, we know what pleases Him, and yet knowing that, how often do we default to our flesh and our feelings tonight? That's exactly what everybody in this text did. Isaac loved Esau. He was a man of the field. He was a man's man. He loved him. Oh, but Rebekah had a soft spot for Jacob. Rebecca knew the promises of God concerning Jacob. She knew that he was God's choice. And she knew that the promise was going to come. And here she is in the tent. And she overhears Isaac and Esau speaking in this manner. And she discovers that Isaac is going to bless Esau. And she says, oh no, but what about the promise of God? What about God said? I remember there were two nations in my womb, and that the younger would rule over the older. And listen, the promise of God, we've got to make sure that this happens. And so we have Isaac favoring Esau. We have Rebekah favoring Jacob. And then we have Jacob trying to deceive his brother and to rob his brother of the blessing. And boy, you read the text, and if we're not careful, you can look at it and you can kind of start to feel bad for Esau a little bit. The whole family is run by greed. And if we're not careful tonight, we will allow our greed to cause us to allow our flesh to wreak havoc in our life. Don't tell me tonight that you don't want what you want. You're made out of the same stuff that I am tonight, and we want to be number one. They pick somebody else for the supervisor position at work. Well, you know, I'd have probably been a better fit because A, B, C, and X, Y, Z. You hear about somebody getting some kind of particular blessing. Maybe they get the promotion or they get the new car. And we'll say things like this. Well, you know, they don't need that new car. Don't they know how the economy is? And they're just wastefully spending and they're not being a good steward of their money. But if you wanted the new car, you'd find out a way to convince yourself to get it. That's how we work tonight. No, let me back up and say this. That's how the flesh works tonight. We have a tendency to try to explain things away tonight. And listen, God knew exactly what He was doing. Whenever we study out the Word of God and we see the end of these characters, and not only the end of these characters, but the end of their lineage and the end of their ancestors. Whenever we think about tonight, Esau is always a representation of the flesh. He's always a representation of the carnal man. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares to us that he is a man of the field. He's a man of the world tonight. He's a man of resources. And then Jacob, it's hard to see sometimes, but he represents the spiritual. He represents the heavenly. Now, there was great anticipation and great desire involving this blessing tonight. When we read over these things, because it's different in our culture, we don't really fully understand the implications of what was taking place. The birthright and the blessing and being really the heir and the sole responsibility of the family was one of the greatest things that a man could pride himself in these days. One of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest joys in life, to be chosen to be the heir for the family. What did they receive? They received, of course, in this family, in this covenant family, they were to receive the promise. They were to be the one that was to be the line for the seed, the Messiah. And so they were to be the kind of the holder of the promise. But then not only were they to be the holder of the promise, they were to be the heir to the priesthood. They were to be the family worship leader. They were to be the representative between their family and God. They were the priest of their home. So they not only held the promise, they held the priesthood, but then they held the property. Those tangible things that they could reach out and touch, those things that they could have in their possession tonight. There was greed involved in this. And ultimately tonight, whenever we see all of this play out, it is Jacob from which the Lord Jesus Christ came. And it was King Herod who came from Esau. He was an Edomite. God knew and understood what he was doing tonight, but sometimes feelings can get in the way of the Word of God. Feelings can get in the way of the promises of God. And so we would do well to not allow our greed to rule us tonight. And so we consider the greed. But then I want to build on this a little bit tonight. We not only think about the greed, but then I think about the guile, the deception. Greed caused those feelings to be put into action. Rebecca hears the news of the potential blessing of Esau. She then prompts Jacob and she pushes him. And Jacob even knows the implications of what's going to take place. If my father discovers this, he's going to curse me and he's not going to bless me. And Rebecca said, let the curse fall upon me. Don't worry about any of the retribution. Don't worry about any of the consequences. Just do what I'm asking you to do. And Jacob, being the mama's boy that he was, he found it awfully hard to say no to his mother. And there's this whole web of deception that is taking place tonight. And I said something earlier about this. When we read the text, we almost have the tendency to feel bad for Esau. We feel like he's the one that is losing out. I mean, think about it. Here he is. He's just trying to please his father. He's out in the field hunting, doing what he loves, doing what he does best, doing what his daddy asked him to do. And all the while he's out in the field, there's this whole web of lies and deception that is being woven. And all of this is being done behind his back. And he comes home only to discover that Jacob had not only robbed him for the birthright and deceived him back when they were boys over the bowl of pottage, over the bowl of soup. But now he has deceived their father into blessing him. And whenever you look at the book of Hebrews tonight, you'll discover that Esau became a very bitter man. The Bible calls him a fornicator. He was an idolater. He walked away from God and he allowed things that happened in his life to make him bitter tonight. Amen. But can I remind you of something tonight? If we have the inclination to try to feel bad for Esau, Esau had the promises of God just like the rest of the family did. Esau knew what was to happen. Esau knew where his blessings would fall. Esau knew the position that Jacob would have in the family. And so Esau allows these things that have happened in his life to make him bitter. And how many times have we seen people do that? Don't just blame Jacob, and don't just blame Isaac, and don't just blame Rebecca for being led about by their feelings. And boy, sometimes we kind of take the position of Esau and say, you know, I've been done wrong, and somebody did this to me, and somebody manipulated me in this manner. And what Esau did is, you know, I'm going to show mom and daddy. Everybody wants to manipulate and play me for the fool. I'll go marry one of them Hittite women and be a grief to my mother and my father. I'll go pick out from Ishmael's family. That'll really sink deep. That'll really cut them to the core. I'm going to go to Ishmael's inheritance and I'm going to find me a woman there and I'll really show mom and daddy then. And the problem with Esau, just like the problem with Jacob and Isaac and Rebekah and the whole lot, is Esau is being ruled about by his feelings too. And if we're not careful, we'll allow what people have done to us to drive us away from what's right and have this idea of vengeance and have this idea of revenge, and I'm going to show them and I'm going to give them something to talk about. But he was led about by his feelings just like the rest of them were. And the deception caused this. All because people chose to rely upon their feelings rather than what God said. I'm going to tell you something. I know feelings get hurt. But feelings can cause a whole bunch of hurt. You've heard the statement tonight, hurting people hurt people. It's only natural to want to lash out. That's what this flesh wants to do. But we can't do that tonight. We can't operate in that way. Because the fact of the matter is Esau wanted to show everybody, and Esau wanted to put it to his parents, and Esau wanted to be bitter and angry and upset and allow bitterness to get a hold of him tonight. And here's what we find out about Esau. Esau thought he was going to hurt mama and daddy. Esau thought that he was going to hurt Jacob. But in the end, all Esau did was hurt himself and hurt God. Ruined his relationship with the Lord. And isn't it funny tonight that Esau, just like everybody else, being ruled by his feelings. You remember when he was there in the field with Jacob, his brother, he came in, boy, he just thought he was going to die. Make me some of your soup, make me something to eat, I'm going to die. And Jacob, being the deceptive one that he was, he said, all right, he said, I'll make you something, but you're going to have to sell me your birthright. What a foolish thing for Esau to do. But isn't it interesting tonight that when it should have mattered to Esau, it didn't? And then when he lost what was important in his life and he lost that blessing and the chickens finally did come home to roost because of what was in his heart, when he finally realized what he didn't have and finally realized what he had missed out upon, then it was important to him. Then it mattered to him. He squandered the opportunities that he had and made a mess out of his life. Hebrews tells us this about him. This is an interesting text. And through studying this, It has given me the desire to really do a character study on the person of Esau. But this is an interesting statement about Esau. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that he sought repentance, but he did not find it. He sought repentance, and he did not find it. I am of the inclination that we preach a whosoever will gospel. I'm of the persuasion that the gospel, you can't give it to the wrong person tonight. And we have said things like God is willing to save anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. But we need to back up on one of those statements. We need to consider the statement of any time. Because a person doesn't just get right with God any old time that they please. I believe tonight that there is an opportunity to sin away the day of grace. I believe that there is a time where we can reject God and reject God and reject God and harden our heart and finally come to the place where God says, all right, if that's what you want, that's what you can have. And I believe tonight that's exactly what happened in Esau's life. Esau was led about by his feelings. We see the greed. We see the guile tonight. But then I want you to think about this tonight. I want you to think about the grace involved in this. The grace involved in this. Think about it tonight. How Isaac blessed his sons. I want you to look tonight and see, continuing on in the chapter, I want you to look at verse number 35. We'll continue on our reading for our text verses. Verse number 35 of Genesis 27. The Bible said, and he said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I give to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I now do unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even also my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off his neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Esau had determined to do what needed to be done. And it was at this moment that he allowed the bitterness to take place in his heart. And he had it out for Jacob, and he had it out for God's promised seed. And when you follow this out, and I'm going to get to the grace here in just a second, but when you trace this out and you follow this out through the Bible, it has its ending in a little book in the Old Testament by the name of Obadiah. That's really a book of the Bible for some of you who think I'm kidding. Amen. The book Obadiah. You know what Obadiah talks about? Obadiah talks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and ruling over the nations of this earth. He is the great Savior and He is the great Judge of the earth. But it profiles one particular people that we find in the Word of God, and they can trace their lineage and they can trace their heritage all the way back to this man by the name of Esau, and they are the Edomites. They have their dwelling in Mount Seir, S-E-I-R. And what Obadiah tells us is that one day those people are going to see the destruction of the Lord. When Israel was carried away into Babylonian captivity, boy, the Edomites laughed and the Edomites mocked in Esau's fashion. Thank God they got one over Jacob. We finally got the upper leg. Hey, but it's God that's going to have the last word tonight. And you look at the life of Jacob, and we're probably going to say this more about this in the next message, but I do want to mention this tonight. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a supplanter tonight. But God knew exactly what he was doing tonight. Amen. And God had to spend almost an entire lifetime to get Jacob to see that it wasn't Esau that was in control, and it wasn't mom and dad that was in control, and that nobody was going to usurp the authority and the plan of God. God had to spend almost all of Jacob's life to get him to understand that he was not number one, but it was the Lord that was to rule his life. It was God that was going to have the final say, and it was God's word that was going to be accomplished in the end. And so how tonight can we say that Isaac blessed his sons by faith when all of this was done in deception? Because I believe with all of my heart, after the fact, after Jacob was blessed and after Jacob departed and Esau comes in and he's whining about the blessing and he's complaining and he's totally heartbroken after what had happened, I think Isaac saw right then and there what was really in Esau's heart. But God knew that from the beginning. It was God that would declare, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. By the way, tonight, God did not hate Esau because of some predetermined predestination. He hated him and he despised him because he hated God. Esau hated God, and Esau had despised the commandment and the word of the Lord. And so when we look at the life of Esau tonight, the things that come out in his heart show us a life that God simply could not use. A heart that hated God, a heart that despised God. Jacob, though he looked out for number one, Jacob oftentimes he reverted back to himself, his own self-sufficiency. Here's the thing about it. Jacob was a mess, but he loved God and God loved him. and the blessing was confirmed in Jacob tonight. And Isaac looked at the results, looked at what happened through the veiling, through the deception, through the shadows, through all of the heartache, through all of the family dysfunction. He looked and saw that God's way really is the best way. Jacob have I loved, is what God said. But Isaac's feelings and Isaac's flesh, you know what they loved? They loved Esau. And if we are not careful tonight, if we are not careful, our feelings will lead us down a path of deception. And we'll love Esau. We'll love the man of the world. We'll love the man of the field. We'll love Adam's nature. We'll love that deception. But tonight we ought to let God have His way tonight. And we ought to exercise faith in what God said. You may not fully understand everything that God has said. There's some things in the Word of God that sometimes we have difficulty grasping tonight. But just know this tonight, that God's way is best. I may not understand. I may not be able to put it all together. But if I can trust in the Lord with all my heart, if I can acknowledge Him in all my ways, if I can lean not into my own understanding. Listen, I'm not trusting in my understanding. I'm not trusting in my intellect, but I am trusting tonight in the Word of God.